Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A with Jay Wynn Russick, our theater critic. Judy, it's good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about a production with the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, a production of Macbeth. There, I said it, you know, because there's a superstition. Maybe we'll talk about that later, that you're not supposed to utter the title of this play. But this is a production by Chesapeake Shakespeare's Black Classical Acting Ensemble. Is that a new thing over there?
Not brand new. It was founded in 2021. The website explains that the ensemble was created, quote, for Black artists to find and nurture their authentic voices in the classical drama while centering and treasuring their experiences and opinions as Black Americans. This ensemble did a different production of Macbeth with a different director for students this past fall. This production of Macbeth is the ensemble's first main stage production for Chesapeake Shakespeare. Three of the 12 actors in the cast are members of Chesapeake Shakespeare's resident company. There are also several newcomers to Chesapeake Shakespeare. Newcomers, old-timers, company members, they work together very well in this production. There's a powerful lead performance and a rather unusual and very effective depiction of the witches. The directions by Lauren Davis and assistant director Ben Lambert has made very careful cuts in the script. They keep the play moving. They keep the audience engaged.
So let's talk about the witches. I like the witches. this is intriguing. These are obviously some of the most famous witches in all of literature. Do they still do the whole cauldron thing? Double, toil and trouble. I mean, does that happen? Or do they do anything different this time around?
Well, that does happen. I'm very excited to talk about these witches. Yes, they say the spell you just said and other famous spells. Macbeth calls them hags. By definition, a hag is an old woman. Director Lauren Davis's witches are played by three young women, Mecca Verdell, Carrie Anderson, and Jordan Stanford. They are cheerful, they are giddy, they shriek with laughter, they seem more like sorority sisters than witches. For the most part, they're having a great time. But what they're playing with is dangerous, at least to a true believer like Macbeth. Most of the actors in this play played double, even triple roles. One of the smartest things about the way that Ben Lambert has divvied up the roles is that the witches also portray the play's murderers. Now, I've seen young witches before. I've seen the witches double as the murderers before. But I don't think I've ever seen both of these things at the same time. And it works especially well. As the witches, they may laugh a lot. But as murderers, they're all business. And more to the point, they can make their prophecies come true. I brought a clip of the witches. This is the play's opening scene. You'll hear the giddiness. Let's listen.
When shall we three meet again?
In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won.
That will e'er be the set of sun.
Where's the place?
Upon the heath.
There to meet with Macbeth.
I come, Grey Malkin.
Ugh, Paddock calls.
Anon.
Fair is foul, and foul is fair. Hover through the fog and filthy air.
It's like the Spice Girls do Macbeth. I like it. That's Mecca Verdell, Carrie Anderson, and Jordan Stanford. They're the witches in Macbeth at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company's Black Classical Acting Ensemble production. So who plays the title character? How would you describe his performance? You got to have a good Macbeth, you know?
Oh, you do, and they do here. He's played by Dejanette Horn. His Macbeth starts out as a bright man, a star warrior, but he is very prone to superstition and suggestion. I have an excerpt from his dagger speech when he's haunted by what he's about to do to kill his king. Dejanette Horn looks out into nothingness. He imagines a dagger. Then he takes out his own dagger, and it almost seems to scare him. There's a line about a ghost later in the same speech, and Horn says this very, moving very slowly, almost sadly. After he's done the deed, he's stunned. His hands aren't just bloody, they're shaking. But, of course, he gets over those qualms. It's an impressive, thoughtful portrayal of a leader who becomes obsessed, addicted to power. Let's listen to some of that dagger speech.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle toward my hand. Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation, proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw.
That's powerful stuff. That's Dejanet Horn, who plays the title character in Chesapeake Shakespeare's Macbeth. It's at the PFI Historic Park in Ellicott City, so it's outside. And, of course, Judy Macbeth's wife is a big part of this, the partner in crime. She eggs him on. Let's talk about a little bit about her.
Well, she's played by another Chesapeake Shakespeare Company member, Dawn Thomas Reedy. It's not as magnetic a performance, but this is clearly an unhealthy love affair. At one point, when she's egging Macbeth on, she berates him, she makes fun of him, she imitates him, and it works. There are also several good supporting performances. I want to point out Shaquan Pearson as Malcolm, and Laura Erica Jackson, who plays both Banquo and Lady Macduff, two really decent folks who become victims of Macbeth's bloodthirsty paranoia.
Well, I love going to shows out at the Patapsco Female Institute. How does this production look? I would imagine that seeing this play outdoors at night, you know, in that setting would be terrific.
Well, especially because that setting is the ruins of the Patapsco Female Institute. I should also mention, not only is Macbeth himself superstitious, but there are tons of superstitions associated with this play. A lot of theater folk think that the play is cursed. They won't even say its name, as you know, unless they're performing in it. Now, outdoor productions, they are lovely, but they are also subject to the vicissitudes of weather. This play's first line, which we heard, mentions thunder and lightning and rain. This past Friday's performance, I went out there, turned out to be rained out. Rain was predicted for Saturday. Frankly, I was beginning to think that there was something to this curse.
Yeah, the curse.
But Saturday's performance did go on. I have to say that although the atmosphere definitely works, this production has what I would call some visual missteps. In the banquet scene, when Macbeth sees Banquo's ghost, Banquo staggers out, disemboweled, holding his entrails. On Saturday, there was actually some laughter the second time he showed up. And much later, when the witches parade Banquo's royal heirs in front of Macbeth, the heirs wear white satin hooded robes, almost like the Klan. In one of the textual notes that Ben Lampert puts in the script, he quotes a 19th century abolitionist who describes Banquo's ghost as a symbol of those sacrificed to slavery. Banquo's heirs would definitely not have been Klansmen. So I found that confusing and disturbing. But these are brief images in a production that in almost every respect is well-conceived, well-directed, well-performed. Chesapeake Shakespeare has now done notable productions of two of Shakespeare's greatest plays back-to-back.
Good for them. In our last minute or so, I think Chesapeake Shakespeare has a new outdoor program coming up. I'm going to have some of those folks involved on the show in a week or so. Tell us about that.
Oh, good. This is a pilot program called Shakespeare Beyond Walls. It's a free 90-minute version of A Midsummer Night's Dream. It will be performed on a trailer in four Baltimore parks, beginning with Patterson Park on July 20th. It's a very exciting initiative. It reminds me of UMBC's Shakespeare on Wheels back in the 80s and the 90s. So it's yet another way to see Shakespeare outdoors and, best of all, to introduce new audiences to Shakespeare.
And about the next season, the 2023-24 season for Chesapeake Shakespeare, what stands out for you?
Well, there are three Shakespeares coming up. One thing that especially stands out, however, for me is the Oresteia, Chesapeake Shakespeare's first Greek tragedy. It's an adaptation of Aeschylus's cycle about the House of Atreus by actor and playwright Ellen McLaughlin. I'm particularly looking forward to that.
All right, and we are looking forward to seeing you next week. Thanks so much. So Macbeth is a production of the Black Classical Acting Ensemble of the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. It's at the Patapsco Female Institute Historic Park in Ellicott City. It's there until July 23rd. And next week, Judy, we're going to talk about 1776. It's over at the Kennedy Center. That'll be fun.
Yes, and a very unusual production. This was done on Broadway recently. The Founding Fathers are played by a multiracial cast of female, transgender, and non-binary actors.
There you go. I look forward to talking about it then. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
And coming up tomorrow, we invite you to be part of our midday town hall with Governor Wes Moore. If you have a question for the governor, send us an email. The address is midday@wipr.org. The governor will join us for the hour tomorrow here on Midday. And stay tuned this afternoon for Here and Now and All Things Considered, where we'll have the latest on the Supreme Court decision abolishing affirmative action as a dimension of college admissions. The president is addressing reporters and the nation as we speak, and we'll have more continuing coverage about that this afternoon, both on Here and Now and All Things Considered. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.
This is 88.1 WYPR.